God has given a very clear pattern for what a marriage is supposed to be. And in this day, when people in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento are promoting things against the Word of God, it doesn't matter your race or your origin. What matters, my friend, is do you know Jesus and do you believe this Bible? Because if you believe this Bible, there's one plan for marriage, and it's between a man and it's between a woman. And God has ordained this. And God's intention is that a husband and wife would come together, led by His Spirit, to fulfill particular responsibilities.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
Let's stand together for the scripture reading this morning from Ephesians 5. Today we begin a brand new series, and I'm excited about this series as we travel down Highway 1, learning how one person makes the difference in our lives, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to see how He wants to guide and direct our destinations, and we're going to begin with a look at the family for the first few weeks and how God wants to guide our families on the journeys that we face and the decisions that we make. And so today's message is entitled A Family Guided by His Spirit, and we hope that you have a Bible. If you don't have one, you'll see the verses right there in your outline this morning. Let's read beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 25. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank You that the Holy Bible is a manual for every family to follow. And Lord, as I preach this morning to husbands and wives, I also preach today to single adults. And I ask that all of us would have as our desire to follow Your Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, that as we travel down highway of life, that we would travel, Lord, following Your direction, and that we would do Your will all the days of our journey. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, every one of us, when we start a journey, need to lay out the direction and decide which way we're heading, whether we're going to go to Colorado or New York or Florida or San Francisco. And in the olden days, they had these things called maps. Remember those? And you'd unfold them and put them on your dashboard, and maybe you'd go to the Automobile Association and they'd highlight it for you and tell you where you were headed. And nowadays, they have these little talking machines called GPS, and they'll tell you how to go and which route to take if you just punch in your final address. Dr. Sisk is here this morning, and he might remember last year when we went to the board meeting at Baptist International Missions, and he picked me up, and we were going to the hotel first and then to the board meeting, and he said, Pastor, don't worry. He said, I have a GPS. I know exactly how to get where we're headed. And he had one of those GPS on the top of his car, and he had it punched in for our destination. And I was about 3 or 4 miles into the journey. It said, turn a particular way. And Dr. Sis said, that's not the way to go. And he went another way. And he went another way. And that lady inside the GPS monitoring system began to speak to us. And she said, rerouting, rerouting. And she was rerouting the whole time we drove on that trip trying to get to the hotel. Mrs. Sisk, I hate to say it publicly, but he said, I already have one woman telling me what to do at home. Now I got one in the car telling me what to do. And he was complaining at that GPS the whole time. Now, the GPS is supposed to help you with a good direction, knowing which way to go. And it is important that you set the right destination. It's important that you study the route. I think of so many beautiful routes right here in our own state. And one of my favorite is Highway 1. And California, we have a lot of faults and a lot of flaws, no doubt about that. And yet there's a lot of great things about this state, a lot of beautiful things about California as well. Down in Orange County, they call Route 1 the Pacific Coast Highway. Maybe you've traveled along Pacific Coast Highway down around old Laguna Beach or Huntington Beach or Long Beach, down in that area. It's a beautiful area as you drive along PCH. And then you come up through Santa Monica and Malibu, and you go along the coastal area and see the beauty as well. And it's a wonderful, wonderful drive just to behold God's creation. You come along through Pismo Beach, and you begin to see some of the beauty there and the sand dunes in that area. And then, of course, you come up north a little farther along, you'll come by Hearst Castle and some of the central California area. If you keep driving on Highway 1, you'll come up even to San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, and you can cross through 19th Street onto the Golden Gate Bridge, and then on up on this Highway 1, you go into Northern California, you see the beauty of the redwood trees there in the north, and it's an awesome, awesome drive to just take some time and see God's creation. But you know, when you take a minute and study that route out, maybe get on the website for the Automobile Association, they do give you some thoughts and some warnings about this route. For example, they tell you that you need to check your gas gauge before taking this trip, because there's a lot of stretches, 40 and 50 miles long, where there's absolutely no gas station to be found. And you want to make sure that you're fueled up and ready to go. They tell you that you want to make sure you take every advantage of using a restroom when you see it on this trip, because you can go long stretches without using the restroom. And all of us with wives and daughters say amen to that. We've learned our lesson. Stop every chance you can. They also tell you to allow plenty of time. They say the average speed is about 35 to 40 miles an hour if you're going to take Route 1. It's not a hurried trip. You want to be able to plan a lot of time. They also say you want to check, especially on a week like this, because there's a lot of mudslides on Highway 1. And you want to check with the Highway Patrol, make sure the road's even open all the way up to San Francisco. You know, in short, everyone that's wise, when they get ready to take a trip, they're going to check the weather conditions, they're going to check the route, they want to study and make sure they're headed off in the right direction. Unfortunately, some people study for a vacation trip and for a drive more than they do for their marriage. Unfortunately, some people will study for a journey, maybe to another state, more than they'll even consider eternal life. And we're here these next several weeks to learn how to follow the Lord in what really matters in our life. Several years ago, a young man came to me, and he was getting some counsel about the subject of marriage. And he wanted to talk about marriage, and I think it's very wise, before you give your heart to someone, to get some godly counsel about that subject. And I said, let me ask you some questions about the relationship. And one of the first questions I asked, I said, is the young lady that you're interested in saved? And by the way, that's the most important question we ever ask about anybody. It's not where they went to school or how much money they have, but are they saved? And he kind of put his head down and he said, well, to be honest, he said, you know, she's not really saved yet. And I gave him some counsel not to get too involved emotionally until he could maybe see her come to church and maybe become a Christian. And I gave that counsel based on what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it says, be not unequally yoked together as the manner of some is with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath darkness with light? The Bible commands us that we should not yoke together as in a marital or even a business relationship with someone that is an unbeliever. And so I challenged him to make sure that he waited for someone who also knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, and it's in your notes there in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we have a lot of people in church today who have a husband who's not saved, or a lot of men who have a wife who's not saved, and you're here today serving your Lord, and I commend you for that. But they would be the first to tell you that when you're married to someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they think this is stupid, and they think being here is a waste of time. And therein lies the conflict, you see. In the olden days, they would take two oxen, and they would put a yoke over them, and they would put a plow behind them, and they would plow the field. But whenever you had a real small ox and a larger ox, or a lazy ox and a hardworking ox, you had an unequal yoke, and it was hard for the farmer to get his work done. And God says when you have a Christian yoked together with someone who doesn't even believe in the Bible, then it's hard to get the work done in the marriage. And so it's so important in a Christian marriage that truly the husband and wife know the Lord and are following the leadership of His Spirit in their life. This is the plan of God for the family. And God's desire is that together we would be joint heirs of the grace of God for all of eternity. And so this morning, how can we be a family that has the right GPS dialed in, headed in the right direction, and going where God wants us to go? Well, let's notice this morning, first of all, we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead our family. We must allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead our family. Now, someone says, well, that's a great abstract statement, Pastor, but how does that really become the reality in my life? How can we have a Spirit-led family? Well, notice what it says again in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, let's say that together. Everyone with me, Ephesians 5:18, ready, begin. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be... Now, God commands us in this verse to be filled with His Spirit. And the truth that predicates this matter of being filled with the Spirit is that we must be emptied of ourselves, right? You can't fill a container that's full up already. It requires humility. It requires an emptying of ourselves. And in the Bible, no believer is commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit or baptized by the Spirit, because that happens the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are born again by the Spirit. And if you are saved this morning, that is, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and take you to heaven, then you are the recipient of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what Jesus spoke about to Nicodemus when He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And if you've been born again, you have received the Spirit of God. So the Bible never says receive the Holy Spirit of God in that sense, because we do that when we are saved. But the Bible does command us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, not every Christian is completely surrendered to the Spirit or walking in the Spirit of God. It's something that we must consciously seek each and every day, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to guide your family and mine. And He wants this to be a matter of the heart, a heart yielded to Him, a heart that is for Him. In fact, notice in verse 19 it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Spirit-filled Christian has a joy in their heart, and they have a song in their heart that is for the Lord. Not only does the Spirit-filled Christian have a joyous heart, but notice what it says also there in the Bible. In verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This person that is guided by the Holy Spirit will have a heart of joy and will have a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude within the home. And so God will guide this leaded family, this yielded family. But notice secondly, the Holy Spirit will give grace to a yielded family. The Holy Spirit will give grace to a yielded family. Now, the Holy Spirit not only wants to guide your family, He not only wants to give you unity and gratitude, but He wants to give grace to your family. Now, let me give you a picture of that grace in verse 21. Notice, please, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this is speaking of Christians in a body of believers. It's speaking to families as well. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, to submit yourself to another person requires grace and humility. How many of you would agree with me on that? I mean, for a wife to follow her husband, for a husband to put his agenda aside and do what his wife would want to do, that requires grace. That requires the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And God says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's no pecking order with God. All of us have been created by Him and for Him, and all of us should be submissive and yielded to the Lord and to one another as unto the Lord, preferring one another. Submission is a voluntary surrender of my will to God, and a wise Christian couple is a couple that submits their will to the side and gives their heart to God and lets God lead in their family. And so we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead our family. As you begin 2010, it would be very wise for every husband here to say, God, I ask you by your Spirit and by your Bible to lead me in the new year. And it'd be very wise for every wife to say, Lord, I want to ask you to lead me in the new year through your word, through your Spirit, and I pray, Lord, through a godly husband for leadership this year. And every individual here that is not married, Lord, lead me this year in 2010, because I'm not going to get from point A to point B without your leadership and without your help. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's notice, secondly, we must accept our biblical responsibility. God is going to lead you, no question, if you seek His leadership. But God wants each of us to accept our God-given responsibility. And so let's notice what our responsibilities are as we look into the Word of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I realize that times are certainly changing in America today. Last year, we had to pass a proposition in California, Prop 8, that simply said marriage is for a man and a woman. And you know, people threw a fit about that. They're still angry about that. They're picketing about that. Right now in the courts in Northern California, there are groups trying to sue and say it's unconstitutional, and they want to have marriage for a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and they literally want to rewrite what the Word of God says. Now, let me tell you, my friends, God is not in the revising business. He is not revising His plan on the marriage issue. The Los Angeles Times, every single day this past week, was writing about this matter and just keeping the issue before everyone concerning gay and lesbian marriages. And they said that 33% of lesbian and 22% of gay marriages have adopted children. And they're raising them up in that lifestyle. And by the way, thank God for Christian families that adopt children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen? And I read that and I thought, how tragic. And they were arguing in court this week that how great these families are. And one woman, Helen Zia, a lesbian writer, said it was such a help to her when she married her partner, because finally she was received by her family. And she said marriage in the traditional way to her is too patriarchal. In other words, she thought the idea of male leadership to be very offensive to her, and she stood adamantly against that. Now let me say, my friends, we are here this morning to see what the Bible says about marriage and about our biblical responsibility. And the last time I checked, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God has given a very clear pattern for what a marriage is supposed to be. And in this day, when people in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento are promoting things against the Word of God, it doesn't matter your race or your origin. What matters, my friend, is do you know Jesus and do you believe this Bible? Because if you believe this Bible, there's one plan for marriage, and it's between a man and it's between a woman. And God has ordained this. And God's intention is that a husband and wife would come together, led by His Spirit, to fulfill particular responsibilities. Now, let's look at these responsibilities. And I know they're old-fashioned, but we are here to learn God's will and God's way today. So let's study it very briefly. First, a wife is to support her husband. The Bible speaks of this in verse 22, submitting yourself to your own husband. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, many times, this language strikes against people in today's modern concept. But I want you to see it in the context of Scripture. First, it says a wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. Now, fellas, don't get a big head on this. It doesn't mean you're the Lord. It doesn't mean that, you know, we are the final authority. In fact, any man or woman, for that matter, who has authority and who is spiritual understands that all authority is under authority, and that all of us are under God. And the Bible says that a husband is under the Lord, and that a wife follows her husband as unto the Lord. There have been many times in our 29 years of marriage when I have not been as right with God as I should be, or I have not made a decision that was the proper decision, and yet Terry biblically still has supported me and stood behind me in those decisions, knowing that if my way is not right, I'm going to give an account to the Lord. So she submits herself to me as unto the Lord, who is the final authority, and that is a safety net for her, and that is a comfort for her in her life, that she's really not following Paul Chapel, though she is following me in the home. She's really ultimately following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the mark of a spiritual and godly woman. The husband is under the authority of Christ. One time, Mark Twain was out in Utah giving some lectures, and he began to have an argument with a Mormon friend on the subject of polygamy. And finally, the Mormon said to him, he said, "Look, can you find one single passage of Scripture that forbids polygamy?" And Mark Twain said, "Yes, I can. No man shall serve two masters." Now, in a lot of homes, that's how it is. And there's a lot of wimpy husbands in this world today. There's a lot of men in this world today who just are not providing spiritual leadership. There are men every Sunday who come to church because their wife really wants them to. But I say to you that God is looking for men who want to come to church and who want to lead and who aren't spiritually wimpy, but who are spiritually growing. And God says that a wife is to support her husband, Colossians 3:18. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit unto the Lord. Now the church today, and I mean Christians today, have been so engulfed with worldly philosophies that many times the church has begun to establish and accept standards that are from the world and not from the Word of God. And I want you to see this and understand, ladies, this morning, that in matters of role and function, God has made a distinction between the man and the woman. There are no differences of intrinsic value or spiritual worth in this matter. God has simply established distinctions in government, in the church, and in the home. And we are not speaking this morning about value or worth. God is not saying, in fact, contrary to the God-denying positions that say that wherever Christianity has come, there's some type of repression. The fact of the matter is, where Christianity has prospered, women have always been treated better. They have been honored in society. And so it is in the Scriptures that a woman is to be honored. Joyce Rogers, the wife of Dr. Adrian Rogers, once said, "To prove submission is a wonderful concept. Jesus became the ultimate illustration of its validity. Although he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he was completely submissive to the Father's will. Jesus himself said, 'For I do always those things that please him.'" Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is 100% eternal God. We believe that Jesus Christ has all the attributes of the Godhead. And yet, Jesus Christ laid aside the prerogatives of his deity and humbly followed the will of his heavenly Father. What an example for every Christian wife who desires to be Christ-like in her everyday life. Now understand, ladies, that we're not speaking this morning about superiority and inferiority. That's not entering the equation. In fact, there are many areas. My wife's here on the fourth row this morning, and I said this in the first service too, honey. There are many areas where my wife is superior to me. Sometimes in the spiritual realms, I can think of some Bible texts where she shared with me some things that I've never seen just that way. Some weeks when she's walking with the Lord and prayer and has a peace and an obvious anointing of God on her life, and maybe in my life I've not walked as closely, and there are certainly times when our wives are superior to us spiritually, perhaps academically. There are many course subjects where my wife has excelled my position, and so the Bible is not saying that a woman is inferior in some way. The Bible is simply saying that God is a God of order, and that God has established order for the family, and that he wants the husband to provide the spiritual leadership in that home. And so a wife surrenders to her husband as unto the Lord, and she surrenders in every biblical way. Verse 24 says, "As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And wives, how you ought to thank God if you have a saved husband today. And if your husband's not saved, you're doing the right thing by being faithful this morning and praying for him and giving a good model and testimony before him. The wife is to support her husband. Notice secondly, the husband is to give Christ-like love to his wife. Now the key phrase there is Christ-like love. And I want you to see what it says in verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." But notice verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, There are many sacrifices to be made in a good marriage, in a godly marriage, and the husband is to lead in that sacrificial manner. Even as Jesus Christ came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto the death of the cross, there are times God says, if you're going to show love, it's going to require sacrifice. It may be that you had a golf day all planned with your buddies and your wife has a need that comes up. And you set the other things aside in order to meet that need. You set aside some of the things you would have done in order to help your wife. And there are three kinds of love mentioned in the Greek language. Some of you have studied them before. There's the word eros, which speaks of a romantic type of love. And the fact is, you cannot build a lasting marriage simply on eros. You cannot build. That's all the world pushes, all the magazines in the grocery store, all the pornography, all the rest of it. The world says, if you have this, you have it all. My friend, you can have that and not have anything. Just ask Tiger Woods. You can have a different woman every day and be unhappy. You see, the Bible's not speaking about eros here. There's another Greek word. It's the word phileo. That is a friendship kind of a love. And that's a wonderful thing to have. But there's a deeper word, and that word is the word agape. And that is the word that describes the love of Jesus Christ. It's a giving love. It's not what I can get from you. It's what can I give to you. How many of you believe Jesus loved you with an agape love? He wants to give to you salvation. He wants to give to you life, abundant and free. And this is what a husband who walks in the Spirit says. What can I give to my wife today? How can I meet her need today? What can I bring home to her from work? What can I bring to her to encourage her and to thank her for all that she's done for me? Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Oh, it's so important. Many times a husband begins to think about his needs and how they're not met, and he becomes angry and becomes bitter and very susceptible to temptation. God says, I want you to seek how you might meet the needs of your wife and love your wife. Let me give you a few practical ways, men. First of all, we love our wives by serving our wives. We love our wives by serving our wives. There was an exhaustive study done that showed no woman ever shot her husband while he was washing the dishes. Now, I'll admit, I'm not the greatest at that, but every once in a while when I venture over by the sink and give it a whirl, my wife really does appreciate that. And every wife appreciates a helping hand. Every wife appreciates a husband with a heart to serve. John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, we do not practice foot washing here at Lancaster Baptist Church as an ordinance of the church. We have baptism and we have the Lord's table. Some churches have foot washing. How many of you are glad we don't do that on a regular basis? But you know what? Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson. And he was saying, if I'm Lord and Master, if I'm the creator of this world, and I took time to wash my disciples' feet, then you ought to love and serve one another. If you think that being the head of the home makes you exempt from serving, makes you exempt from helping out, then you don't understand servant leadership. You don't understand leadership at all. Husbands, as a leader in your home, look for opportunities to serve and to be a blessing and to lift the burden. Not only by serving, but a husband can give Christ-like love by sacrificing. You see, agape love is a sacrificial love. And a lot of fellas, we get a little bit of a warped idea. We say something like this, well, look, I told her I loved her when we got married. And I bought her a dryer last month. I mean, come on. And we want brownie points for doing what every guy should do. But God says, I want you to look at Christ and what he did. Verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church. John 15:12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And how we thank God today for men in this room who are godly husbands, who are growing in the Spirit, doing their best for the Lord and for their family. Now, if we're going to follow the leadership of the Lord down this journey that we're taking this year in 2010, first we need to acknowledge His Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, lead me and help me as a husband, as a wife. Secondly, we've got to take our responsibilities seriously to be a supportive wife, to be a loving husband. Notice thirdly and finally this morning, we must acknowledge and glorify the Lord God. We need to recognize in everything we do in this life's journey The ultimate goal is to glorify Almighty God. The reason we should desire a strong marriage is not so we can be happy. And that's how this world sort of operates. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But it's not just about being happy. That's fine. But what this life is really all about is bringing glory to God. And in the Bible text before us this morning, God says that marriage is like the church and its relationship to Jesus Christ. And God says, I want the whole world to know how much I love my church. I want the whole world to know that I died and shed my blood for the church. And every time a Christian marriage fails, the devil laughs at that because he's able to say, see, the Christian life doesn't really work. Now, let's consider the proposed relationship this morning between a Spirit-led husband and a Spirit-led wife and Jesus Christ and His church. And understand that Bible deniers and Bible haters love it when a Christian marriage fails because they know what the Christian marriage represents. It represents Christ's love for the church. So how can we glorify God in our marriages? Let's see three quick things as we close. First, we glorify God through purification. Through purification. Now notice what it says in verse 26, that He, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now how many of you believe this morning that Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, forgives sin and removes the spots and wrinkles from our lives? Are you thankful for that? That's what His grace does. Not only does He forgive us by the shedding of His blood, but furthermore, Jesus Christ, through the washing of His word, cleanses our lives. Now, Christians are referred to as the bride of Christ. And Jesus says, I want my bride to be a clean bride. And so I've cleansed them by the shedding of my blood, and I cleanse them by the washing of my word. We've had many weddings in this auditorium, and many dozens of times I've seen brides come down that aisle, and always a beautiful, beautiful, clean white dress representing purity and holiness. And God says, that's what I want my church to be. That's why we ought not to be running around in sin all week long. He wants His bride to be pure. But listen, God says in our home He also wants purification. So even as Jesus leads the church to purity, the husband is to lead the family in holiness. He's to lead the family in Bible reading. He's to lead the family in prayer. He's to lead the family to the house of God. God says, you're going to glorify me when you have a faith that really, really works. Notice, secondly, we do this through protection. We glorify God when we protect our family. Notice, if you will, in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I don't need to tell you that most men here are good at taking care of themselves. It's just a known fact. We want to make sure we look right. We want to make sure we're fed right. We want to make sure that we are taken care of when we're sick. My son has been asked so many times the last several weeks, how's your pain level on a 1 to 10? And most of the time he'd always say 7 or 8. I heard him ask that question. I don't know how many times. Now, if it had been me in the hospital bed and they were asking me, how's your pain level, it would always be 10. Every time. I'm not as brave as my son is. I mean, if I'm in any kind of pain, I want it taken care of right now. You know, just knock me out, brother. Take care of me, you know. And that's sort of how we think. Take care of me if I'm sick, if I'm hungry. Take care of me. But I want to tell you something, folks. God says to the husbands here, the way you would take care of yourself, that's how I want you to take care of your wife. I want you to make sure that she has protection and that she is taken care of. And the Bible says to give honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. That does not, again, apply some inferiority. It doesn't imply that you're a lesser person. Look, you could lay down on this pulpit a roll of denim and a roll of silk. And I'll tell you which one's more valuable. The silk is more valuable. And so it is with a wife. Valuable. God says, I want you to take care of her. I want you to honor her and protect her. And then finally, God wants us to provide for our wives. Notice in verse 29, it says in the Word of God, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, when we purify, protect, and provide for one another, we are bringing honor and glory to God. People say, look at that couple, how they love one another. Their faith has made a difference. What a picture of Christ and His love for the church. Now I wonder, are you acknowledging the leadership of the Holy Spirit as a family? Are you today accepting your biblical responsibility as a spiritual husband or a spiritual wife? Are you glorifying God by providing and protecting and purifying one for another. And I wonder, who's guiding you on life's journey today? Who do you follow? Do you follow the LA Times? Do you follow HBO? Who is influencing you about relationships? Who is leading you in your home? And I challenge you this morning to be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God in the new year. And if you're here right now and you say, well, I don't know where that all starts. I mean, I don't know how to get on the road. Well, let me just remind you of what Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, okay? You're here in body. That means you've been born. You have a spiritual birthday. And that's step one. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you will spend eternity with Him? Because if you're saved, then you can follow His Spirit. If you're not yet saved, a lot of this isn't making sense yet. You don't know how to follow Him yet. But if you will receive Christ as your Savior, then His Spirit can begin to guide you in your everyday family life.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.